Good evening, lads. How are we all doing? Coach Drake's here, the founder of 30 Plus Men's Fitness.
A big welcome to Simon. Simon, thanks for joining me, mate. What's the time there, dude?
It's just 1 a.m.
Wow. 1 a.m. Is it 1 a.m. Monday or 1 a.m. Sunday?
Monday.
So are you working today?
Yeah, I'll be at work about 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Oh, mate, you're a legend. Thanks for doing this, mate. I really appreciate it. So, guys, look, before we let Simon take the mic and rip it up, guys, this is Simon Huckstep. A lot of you would have seen me share his before and after. It's a phenomenal before and after, probably one of the best I've seen, and I've seen some before and afters. I was messaging Simon recently saying, look, because Simon was part of our community for a bit, but I can't take all the credit for this. I believe that he watched our documentary and inspired him to get going. I believe he was part of our paid members area for about a couple of months, but a lot of this shit he's done on his own. We were just the trigger for getting him going. But I messaged Simon. I said, look, I would love to share your before and afterwards and give 30 Plus a mention. And then I just rang him. And he's a UK-based guy, lives in the Philippines. We had great banter. I was like, look, we've got to make a split screen happen, because I thought he lost 110 pounds in a year. He's telling me it's 7 months. Now, if anyone else, like, and they weren't my client, said that, I wouldn't believe him. But because he's followed the principles, I do. And it's a phenomenal story. So, guys, sit back and enjoy this. We're going to turn this into a podcast, a YouTube video, and we're gonna pimp Simon, basically, because he deserves to be, because his results are sensational. So, first off, Simon, forget the weight loss for a second. Tell us a bit about who you are, how old you are, how come you live in the Philippines. Just tell us a little bit about Simon Huckstep.
Okay, trying to bring it all in a fairly short space of time is that I'm from Gravesend in Kent, and I've been in Asia for the past just over 12 years, oil and gas, oil field services, stuff like that. So I've been mainly based in Singapore, and it's sort of like been my home and not really gone back too much. But
sure.
over the period of time, the good life sets in, yeah?
Yeah.
So you just get carried away with the drinking and the nights out and getting up to mischief and everything like that. So I'm just turned 40 last year, and it sort of like gave me a bit of a wake up call with what was going on.
Sure.
And the health side of things was suffering. The mental side of things was suffering, and it was mid last year. It was really all falling apart, and I could feel it. So
what did you weigh at that time, bud?
Say again.
What did you weigh at that time last year?
It was 145 kg.
Okay. And
And it was the thing that was getting to me was that I was constantly had the flu and sick.
Right. Okay.
Two months not okay and stuff like that. And then I was getting gout so much, and I couldn't walk, and it was just. It was the good life catching up on you, really.
What was your energy level like, bud?
My energy levels was barely can get up and focus in the daytime. It was just wearing me out completely. I mean, wow. struggling just to get out of bed, I was more like rolling out of bed. So I think it was. The thing that really hit me was when I was suffering with quite heavy depression.
Sure.
And when depression sets in, you seem to grab all sorts of things, and alcohol was my substitute, yep. And McDonald's was my favourite friend, you know.
Yeah.
So I was just digging myself a grave, and I wasn't really listening. I wasn't listening to anyone. I just thought, it's just another day, you know.
Can I ask how you managed to work? I mean, is your job quite physical, or are you sat down?
I'm in the office every day, and mostly you're using your brain. But to be perfectly frank and honest, is that you're not fully focused. I was always a believer, saying to my friends, I'm a functioning alcoholic.
Yeah,
it got quite serious, but I suppose because you get into a routine and you know how to do things to a certain extent, just to cover your arse. Let's be right. Frank and honest about it.
Let me stop you there.
That was it, really.
Describe a function alcoholic, because I've worked with a load of clients that tell me that they don't have a problem with alcohol, yet when they tell me what they consume, I'm like fucking flabbergasted. I can't believe it. So what does that look like? Because there might be people out there that are struggling. They might be in denial.
Well,
and it'll be interesting for you to tell us.
Well, I knew there was a problem, but I could function. What I'm saying, functional. I could get up in the morning and go to work and do my day job. But you're only 10% now. The rest of you, it's just your head somewhere else, and you know you can do so much better. But it's just that you just function. You just get up and function for what you can.
So what were you putting away in terms of booze?
Pardon?
What were you putting away a day in terms of booze, and when did you start drinking? Like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, midday?
It wasn't every day. It was every other day, but roughly it was between 8 and 10 pints a day. Then I'd get on the whiskey or the bourbon, and then the full cokes. So by the time midnight, 1 a.m., you're full up with booze, and then what do? You're hungry. You pick something else up. You get a curry. I used to take McDonald's in my backpack to work for the morning. You know,
fuck.
It got unreal. And then, but you don't really think about it because you're still functioning. And then,
what did the weekends look like for you, mate?
Well, strange enough, my weekends were mostly spent in bed. Friday was quite a big night. Saturday was wearing off the booze, and Sunday was still wearing off the booze. And then you go out for a Monday evening drink. So it was a bit. Most people go out on the weekends and do it the other way around, but I did it arse about face.
Sure, sure. Can I ask, have you got a family out there? Have you got a wife? You got young kids?
Yeah.
How did that affect the family?
It caused a lot of friction and bother, but it was a bit like we not talk about it too much.
Sure, sure.
So, yeah, it's probably some of my darker days over here in Asia. And what really got to me one day is that I come back from quite a big session, and I was sick in bed,
right.
And I didn't clean it up.
Wow.
I laid in it and decided I'd do it when I want to do it, and that sort of like really put things into me to say that there's something wrong, you know.
Sure, wow. So literally so pissed up, so knackered, you puked up, but you're like, no, I'm not going to clean this up.
It was almost like I gave up, really, and I wasn't really bothered. I would just trundle through the next day, and hopefully I'll be alive, you know.
So, yeah,
and I think, I've got one boy. Yeah, yeah.
How old
I got
is
a son. He's four.
So how
four now?
How did this affect things? I mean, so all right, so he's four now. So at your heaviest, he was a toddler. Were you able to do anything?
I couldn't do nothing with him. I mean, all I can remember when he was. When he was about two, three, 3 years old, I couldn't even pick him up because I had gout in my elbows.
Wow.
So wow. I was trying to tell him to be careful and mind me, because, you know, he used to jump up and down on my stomach, use it as a bouncy castle.
Wow. Yeah. And it's great to laugh about it now, but it hurts.
Yeah, I just took it as it was, and thinking, oh, I'll just be like this forever.
Let me ask you this. Were you enjoying that way of life? Because I think there's a lot of people that they say they want to change, but then I've noticed that they actually love socializing. They love going out on the piss, and actually they're not prepared to give that up. So my question to you is, even though you felt like shit, were you actually enjoying that way of life, or not really? It's just a norm.
To a certain extent, I loved it. 50-50, yeah. I did enjoy it. I enjoyed the company and the banter and the talks and what we got up to and stuff like that. But deep down, I knew it was killing me.
Yeah.
But I couldn't, for some weird reason, I just couldn't shake it off. I just thought that was the way of life. But completely wrong about it now.
So were people around you trying to say, hey, come on, Simon, yeah, worried about you?
There was a few close friends that were saying, you know, this isn't good, but they was very careful the way that they would say it, because they wasn't much better themselves, you know.
Sure, it's the company that you were in, I suppose. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right.
So it's a bit like you just take it with a pinch of salt. That's what I used to do, and used to laugh it off and carry on for the next couple of days.
Yeah, I mean, like you live in the Philippines. That's quite a warm country, I'd imagine. Like, how did you cope being so heavy in that fucking heat, man?
That's a good one. I just sweat all the time, and by the time you get to the office, you're cooling down because you've got aircon. So you get used to it after the years as well. And yeah, I was perspiring all the time, but it was alcohol coming out of me.
Yeah, yeah. All right, interesting. Okay, so let's talk about, so you were saying about the boozing, you used to take McDonald's in your backpack, quite often go out for a curry. Yeah. What was your average, give me an average day consumption, you know, so let's say a Friday, food and drink, what would it look like? So let's go from Friday morning.
Normally I wouldn't take a breakfast. Simple reason was because I couldn't handle it because I was drunk the night before.
Sure.
So then I'd go out. Then I'd go and have I don't know, maybe like a foot long Subway, meatball, whatever the worst one you can possibly have, and then I'd. I didn't only have something like a chicken burger or something like that. Then I'd go to the pub straight afterwards. So I think I'm full.
Yeah.
And then by the time I've had my drinking session, I mean, that's when it got worse. Sometimes I could have like three Big Macs, and I was still like, I could have a portion of chips, And then I'd even take it home and eat in bed.
Yeah.
And it'd be like two in the morning, and you think, Jesus,
where's
you know?
That come from?
And then,
let me ask you this. I know that you gradually gain weight over the years, but growing up, were you heavy growing up, or like what was your relationship like with food and stuff like that growing up? Because a lot of this can quite often stem from childhood.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I was brought up on microwave food, but I was fit. I was cycling. I was playing a lot of football, quite a lot of football, and I was generally fit and slim. But the older I got, I would say 17 onwards, that's when the alcohol came in and everything else, and then you just don't realise you're getting big. until a few people say to you.
Sure. And then you had a very bad injury, didn't you, in your 20s or 30s, where you actually broke your back. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I had a car accident when I was about 24, roughly about that age, 23, 24. I broke the mid to lower back. Basically, the car overturned and my back hit the door handle and my back shattered.
Wow.
And plus, on top of that, I broke my right ankle and my left foot was damaged. And there was nerve damage to a certain extent. So it was Christmas time, and we had to make a decision whether we have the operation or we just leave it as it is. I mean, just had to make the decision and trust the surgeons and. Thank God that it worked, you know.
Brilliant. Okay, and what did they say after the surgery?
They didn't say too much, but there was more like, you won't be doing any exertion, you won't be running around or doing stuff like that. And when someone tells that to you, it's a bit like, I don't want to try it just in case.
Sure.
So even walking up and down the stairs, I was very dubious and worried in case I slipped and stuff like that. And you just become more awareness around you, what you're doing, how you're doing and stuff like that.
And I bet so, you're gaining the weight over time. I bet you've still, you know, you probably, those joints are still sore today. And I bet you gaining that weight did not help one bit, did it?
No, not at all. I mean, when you've had something like that injury and you're constantly gaining weight, as I say, you don't really notice it until the older you get, and it took a toll on me when I hit about 40 for some reason, you know.
Yeah. Okay. So look. Let's talk about the moment you decided to change, because I think that you'd got to a point where it was just a way of life, you know, you're fucking living off junk, boozing, throwing up in the bed, eating in the bed. What made you decide to change? I often say that in order for someone to change, the pain that they're in, it has to become so great that they're prepared to endure the pain of change. The pain of change is, you know, reducing alcohol, reducing the junk, starting to exercise.
There was actually a few, I would say, trigger things that I went back to UK in February last year to see my dad.
Yeah,
and he wasn't very well. He wasn't very well, and he was suffering with prostate, and it was quite emotional. And he came into the room, and he was wearing a medical nappy, you know, and. And I was gobsmacked, and I just couldn't believe it. You know, I just, what's going on? If that's my father, and I'm getting worse. You know, and I'm thinking, it just all hit me at once, and I took it all back, and it just broke me down. I still carried on for another 3 or 4 months as it was, and it was just bottling stuff up. And then a friend of mine sent me a link. He just have a look at this, see what you're doing to your body, And I'm thinking, okay, I've heard that before. And it was actually Joe Cross about juicing.
Sure.
Can't remember the name of it. And I watched it and I thought, oh, maybe if this guy has done it, maybe I could just. See if I can do it.
Mm.
It was just like a personal challenge to myself, and then I made it to a stage of where I put it out to my friends and see what they say, and you get the usual response of you probably do it for 2 weeks and
but
for some weird reason I continued to do it, and I was going live and talking to my friends about it and stuff like that.
So you just went from pissing it up, eating burgers, to just juicing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's such a like refreshing just to hear that you just went, that's it, I'm changing.
Well, I think everyone's got that in them. I think everyone can do it to us. I think everyone can do it, but it depends how your mindset is. And I've gone from probably the worst position I probably could be in to I looked at it as I was detoxing. I was detoxing my body.
Yeah.
It became a way of life and a bit of a hobby at the same time. I was getting to know vegetables and fruits and
Brilliant. Mixing
it all together.
Yeah.
And I was just having a go at it, you know. And
let me ask you, what was that like initially? Like, how did you feel? Because a lot of people, they love going to the pub, they love the banter, they love the environment. Like, how did you feel that void? Because so many people are like, what now?
Well, I felt I needed to do something, and I thought, well, let's try it. Let's try it and let's see it through. I mean, I made a commitment to people, to myself and to people who are watching this. And I thought, well, if I let this go and I let myself down, everyone's going to think I'm just the same person as I was before. So it is a bit like we keep talking about accountability and stuff like that. I mean, I'm very into that. And I think it was a bit like, well, I can't let myself down. I don't want people to think bad of me. So let's try and continue this. And I did. I continued doing the juicing for about a couple of months.
Wow. You must have dropped serious weight initially, dude.
Well, I was dropping about between 8 and 10 kilos in a few months.
Yeah.
But I didn't really notice it. But I felt different. I felt cleaner, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Fucking, of course, mate. Yeah. I mean, what was that like initially? You must have almost gone through some kind of like, almost like you were detoxing. You must have. You couldn't have felt good straight away, surely.
No. I was. I felt I couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
I was feeling like anxious.
Yeah.
Constantly worrying about stuff, but it was more my body changing, my body getting rid of the alcohol.
Yeah.
And you got to look at it. I was the amount of drink I was putting in my system. It was overloaded, and it was just getting everything down.
And you know, here's something I hear a lot of people when they try to give up the booze, they can't sleep, they get anxious, and so they just go straight back on it. So that must have taken some serious fucking determination in those early days to push
through. Yeah, and the way that I overcome the anxiety sort of thing was to watch more motivational juicing programs.
Brilliant.
Because I thought to myself, well, you know, you've done one day, you've done another day, you've done 5 days. Well, why can't you do 10? You know, it's just, it was a bit like you're constantly challenging yourself. And
I love this.
It just drove me to do more and more every day. And, but hand on my heart, I got to a stage where, I was hungry. I was hungry as anything. And then I thought, well, I've got to put something in my body that's good, apart from vegetables and fruits. I mean, so that's when I started to up the water intake, and because it filled me up a little bit.
Yep.
And then I just got on to good chicken, grilled chicken and fish, vegetables, and it just felt right. I felt comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
And then the juice has slowly disappeared in the back shelf because I felt that I can control things better.
Yeah.
So bearing in mind at the same time I was still drinking alcohol.
Okay, right, okay.
But I was not drinking beer. I didn't have any. I've not drunk any beer for over 7 months. I was drinking vodka and water and ice.
Yeah. Still gives you that hit, I'd imagine, but it's very, very low calorie.
Because the way I looked at it was I just done a lot of research in Google and found that was the best alcoholic drink I could possibly have. And then I'd have enough of vodka, and then the following day I didn't feel like eating. So in a funny way I was fasting at the same time.
Sure. So let me ask you this, you talk about the nutrition, the juicing, etc. What exercise did you do, bud? Tell us about, because obviously at your heaviest you wouldn't have been able to do a lot.
No, I mean the exercising came later. Simply because I wasn't really interested at the beginning. I can't remember the last time I exercised in so many years. It's just that I was talking to a few friends and they basically said, "Well, just maybe go for a walk."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Yeah, okay."
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll think about that one.
Yeah.
Because I was still, I'm still heavy. I'm thinking I will do things in my own time. I'm not jump on the train straight away and become this fitness guru. But a close friend of mine I was talking to in Singapore, and he was just trying to help me get a bit of motivation in myself. And I started to walk, and then I started to walk on my own. And I found it quite therapeutic. I thought it was like you start when you're off the drink and you're detoxing, and you start thinking more clearer. You start colors started to look more brighter. And
yeah.
It just things that you take for granted every day and look around you. You just really take in a different aspect. And I really enjoyed it. I mean, I was. I discovered, I've been living in Singapore for so many years, and I discovered places just by walking that I didn't even know.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, and then you're knocking up like, 5,000 steps, then 8,000 steps, and you find that easy. Then you become 12,000, 15. You know, I'm doing like 30,000 steps a day.
Brilliant.
You know, it's unreal, some of it, you know.
And it's so simple, isn't it, when you think about it, like, you don't have to go to a gym. You don't have to be doing like a load of burpees when you're too heavy. Just moving more, just getting out for those walks. And that's one thing that, you know, I'm a big, you know, talk about NEAT and things like that. And since I got a Fitbit and we've got a dog now, and some of the walks and the discoveries you go on, you're like, was I going around with my eyes closed? I didn't even know these places were here.
Yeah. I mean, it was just because, Singapore is a fantastic country, and I was discovering the city where I've been for so many years, and I didn't realize it was so interesting. And going to islands near Singapore is a bit like, why didn't I try this? It's because you get into a habit of going to work, going to the pub, and eating crap food.
Yeah.
You don't nothing else, you know.
No.
So yeah, walking got me. Brisk walking. It was just walking. Walking got me changing my mindset as well. So I'm just bearing in mind, I've gone through I'm going through the dietary stuff. Then I'm a bit of exercising, and things started to just change. I mean, that took about 3 months before I could say I could feel really different.
Right.
About 3 months. So it wasn't, it's like anything, it wasn't a straight away overnight thing. And then I, for some reason, I've not rode a bike, and I missed riding bikes, and I rode my bike for the first time, and I'd done about 40 kilometers.
Brilliant.
Along the coast road, and I just took my time and I got right into it and enjoyed it, and then I thought, you know what, I'm going to buy another bike. I'm going to buy a better bike, and I'm going to do this as a weekly thing.
Brilliant.
And then I was riding like 70 kilometers on one day, in the heat, and just challenging myself all the time. And I was just it sort of like kept driving me to find something different, because I find so many people doing stuff on the exercise and the physical thing that they don't really enjoy it, but
yeah,
they do it,
yeah,
for the sake of doing it.
Yeah,
absolutely. And everyone used to say to me, "Oh, just go and walk the tread the pool. I can't swim. I don't enjoy swimming. I don't enjoy golf. I can't play football. I'm too heavy." There was always something there where there wasn't too many other choices. I mean, I was even embarrassed getting on the bike in case people see a fat guy on the bike, you know. But you've just got to shake these things off and just go on with it, you know. So,
what point in your journey did you discover 30 plus and what we do, bud?
The second month I was juicing, mid September, a friend of mine, Johnny, sent me the link, and I just I ignored it for 3 weeks.
Sure.
Because I don't know the real reason why, but I was quite a little bit skeptical with it all, because
sure,
I didn't really know if it was one of these things that you sign up for, and what is it for me, you know? And then, but I looked at it, and when I was watching the program that you did, I watched it twice, and a few things really hit me, especially when you was in when you flew to Thailand and about your friend and stuff like that, and I could sort of, for some reason, I could relate to some of that stuff. And I was thinking maybe I use this as a tool, if to refer to and to for someone to be there for me.
Yeah.
And because no one knew me, none of you guys knew me, and it's like a lot of people, they just come into this group and you become friends overnight. And I felt maybe I felt quite safe about it.
Yeah.
And I saw positive remarks and no nonsense, and I thought, well, let's give it a go. The way I looked at it was referring to it as a tool to refer to when I'm feeling a bit down.
Yeah, and
you know, a lot of it pulled me through the first 3-4 months.
Brilliant.
It really did.
Brilliant. And so, but let's talk about your results to date, buddy. You have lost 110 pounds. That's 50 kilograms.
Yeah.
I mean, what does that feel like? What do people recognize you? What do people say to you? I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's crazy, yeah. well... Everyone I see, they can't believe it, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, I saw a guy on Friday. He said, "I haven't seen him for 2 years." He wasn't sure if it was me or not.
Yeah.
But it got to the stage where a while ago where I looked in the mirror, and I didn't realise who I was anymore.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
What do your family think? What does your son say?
Well, when my son seems more happy with me doing things with him now. You know, we go for walks, we go out on a bike, and I take him to school and stuff like that. Where before I wasn't bothered.
And how does that make you feel now?
$1 million, you know.
Brilliant.
Amazing.
That's what it's all about.
But yeah, it's Yes, yeah, it's just it's about 50 kilos in seven, just over 7 months now. So seven months, 5 days.
So you got down to your 90 kilos. No, what are you now? 90 kilos?
92.6.
Okay, amazing. And how tall are you, Simon?
5'8". Okay, 5'8".
So what is the goal? What's the ultimate goal?
Well, it's very difficult to put a goal on it because my goal end of last year was 100 kgs. And I was 95.8. So it was a bit like... But in January, I put some weight on, simply because I was moving apartment, moving country, and also I wasn't exercising as much, and maybe I lost a little bit of focus and stuff like that. Plus, I still suffer from gout now and again.
Right.
It really takes about 5 or 7 days out of me completely. I can't move. Have to get the medication and then you're back on it again. So there was a delay in the beginning of the year, and then I noticed it coming off more so end of February, just simply by exercising consistently.
Yeah. So what is the goal? What would you say it is? 80, 85?
I want to get to 80. And then I'm a little bit concerned because I'm dropping weight. I've got flab. I've got fat still. Sure. You know.
Have you got loose skin as well?
Loose skin. Yeah. Lot of loose skin. So what I need to do, I'm somewhere or other. I need to build that into some sort of muscle, I believe. Yeah. And that's when I believe I'm going to hit the gym harder.
yeah. But I think you're doing things at the right time, aren't you? You're doing things at the right time. And I think when you get to that... Sorry, I'm just readjusting because it's gone a little bit dark here. Sorry, mate. What's that like there? It's getting a bit dark here. Yeah, so you're doing things at the right time and you'll readjust. You know, once you get to 85 kilos, hit that gym, and then your body's going to look completely different, isn't it?
Yeah, and then I think what I need to do is just when my body keeps changing, I need to reassess things. I need to go back and think about how am I going to get to put some muscle on, or how much going to build myself up, and take it step by step rather than try and do it all at once.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, when you're ready, I can help you with all that. But I think, look, what I really want to sort of conclude with is, guys, if you've got any questions for Simon, ask me. But I think, look, we all know how to lose weight. It's a case of eating less and moving more. We know that in this day and age. But it's way harder than just telling somebody that, because there's a whole lot of other things that come into it, like emotion. And we're emotive creatures. We're not robots. And, you know, we've all got stuff that's with us from young and habits and childhood stuff. And that can often lead to, you know, excess alcohol, excess food, all that kinds of stuff. So I suppose what I want to ask you is, over that 7 months, right, do you have any setbacks apart from the house move? Did you have any times where you just thought, oh, fuck it, I can't be arsed? Did you have, like, an inner voice in your head saying, Simon, you're not good enough, you don't deserve this? What kind of emotional, mental battles did you have, bud?
There was a few negative people around me. And they didn't believe me, and then you start not believing yourself. But what really hit me one day was I started to jog. I just got off my arse and I started to jog a bit, and I was feeling good. And then I asked someone at work, I said, what do you do when your knees are hurting? He said to me, it's best that you don't do it because your body weight's too big. And I thought to myself, I didn't ask you that.
Yeah.
And that, to me, that was a complete negative. And that put me in a bad frame of mind. And then, but what I was bringing back to myself, that the Sunday, I asked him on the Monday, the Sunday, I watched a doc, I watched a podcast with Tyson Fury.
Brilliant. Right? On Joe Rogan, yeah.
One that you put a link on.
Yeah.
And I started to watch it, and I thought to myself, maybe just think about how Tyson Fury, because it was a it's a really interesting podcast where he goes through the you can actually imitate. I was imitating myself into that position. I mean, and I was thinking he started to jog and he was top heavy. He lost so much weight in a period of time. And I thought to myself, well, no one's going to tell Tyson Fury to he's top heavy and he can't do it. So why can't I do it?
Yeah.
And in a funny way, I put that negative to the side and I just got my shorts back on and back out there.
Brilliant, mate.
And kept at it, you know.
Paul says, what is your motivation to keep it off? Any more questions, guys? Get them in now.
My motivation to keep it off is that I've got a few targets. I've shared some of them with you, Mark, as well. Is that I want to do an ultra.
Amazing.
I want to do an ultra.
Amazing.
Before I'm 45.
Fantastic. Brilliant. That's a great idea, mate. I think that's amazing, bud. And why not? Why not?
Why not? If I can pull that off, then I'd be happy. That's motivating me. I've always said to myself when I'm jogging, I'm consistent. That's where I keep things tight. Is that if I can keep doing this, I need something to drive me. If I can say I'm going to do a 10K run, then I'm going to do a half a marathon. Then I'm going to do a marathon. I need something to focus on and go for. Because if I just say, oh, I've done that 10K, I've done half a marathon, what am I going to do? You know, I want something that people, I want people to notice what I've done.
Brilliant, mate. Awesome. And I talk about this a lot. I think, you know, I'm the same age as you, Simon. I'm 40. If I haven't got goals, I just go to pieces. I mean, I've often said that my reason why is my kids. Obviously, I run a fitness business, so, you know, I can't be getting too out of shape. But if I don't have a goal, I go to pieces. And that's why I've always got goals penciled in. Tough Mudder, Europe's Toughest Mudder, you know, 4 and 4 half marathon challenges. Stuff like that just keeps you. Because I believe that we work better when we have a goal. We're happier working towards something. I mean, like, let me ask you this. How have you felt internally whilst working towards this goal? Like mentally.
Say again?
Like, have you, mentally?
Mentally, it's been some days it's been really emotional. I mean, I've broken down a few times. I've been on like the MRT or the train, and I'm looking at stuff that where I was, and where I've come, and watching some of the podcasts, and I try and keep that as a motivational thing. Every day I watch something, and then I become really emotional because I know I kicked ass at this, and I will continue to do it.
Do you know what I love about it is the fact that you watch stuff every day that motivates you. And this is massive, right? Because I always say to people, right, if this is something you struggle with, you've got to do the work. So, you know, how can I say, like, if you have a battle with food and overeating, it's a fucking daily thing. You've got to listen to stuff. You've got to read books. You've got to do the work. You've got to go and search for motivation. Listen to podcasts. Because so many people, they'll just, like, you know, we scroll through Facebook, Netflix, all that. They don't realize the fucking plethora of information out there from people that have done such amazing things that all you've got to do is fucking put your phone down for half hour, turn off Netflix for an hour, and go and listen to some of this shit. Like you said, that Tyson Fury podcast, that inspired you. It inspired me as well. Goggins, Paul says. David Goggins. These people are out there. Like, let's use it. It's free. Let's tap into it. And like you said, every day you go and listen to something. And, you know, a lot of people, like, they poo-poo that and say, oh, well, it's easy, you know. What is different when you're tired and you've got kids? Yes, it is. It's fucking harder. It's hard when you've got kids and you're tired. That's why you've got to go and try and get that motivation from somewhere. You know, it is harder. So use those tools that you can access. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I 100% I get it. I mean, there's the way I've looked at things, and the way so many people comment on what I'm doing, but they all find time to make an excuse. Time is so precious to us now, and I've only just realised that. It's just that the way I broke it down was, we got 24 hours in a day. Yeah,
I love this. Yeah,
if we can't spend 45 minutes to 120 minutes on ourselves, we're doing something wrong.
Priority. We need to be the priority. You put yourself first, and everything else falls into place.
That's what I'm a firm believer of. I mean, people say, oh, I've got to get up in the morning. We all got to get up, but get up a little bit earlier. Huh?
How bad do you want it? I mean, I shared something earlier. I shared a video earlier, and in that video, I talk about it's okay to accept that you don't want it enough. And this is because, you know, and I'm such a firm believer in this. People talk so much. And look, I get it. It's hard. Change is fucking hard, man. You know, I mess up on my diet and I go, what do I do there? I miss a session. What do I do there? It's hard. But for some people, they have to accept that they don't want it enough because they're not prepared to change their social circle. They're not prepared to stay out of the fucking pub on the weekend. They're not prepared to get up earlier. They're not prepared to work. You're a prime example of somebody that has gone, do you know what? I need to change it and I'm going to fucking do it. I'm going to change my environment. I'm going to change the people I hang around with. I'm going to fucking get up early. I'm going to listen to motivation.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like when people say, "Oh, your journey." I mean, I don't look at this as a journey. I work at it as a way of life now. This is me. I'm not. All I can do is get stronger and better. And it'd be fantastic for people to say, "You know what? I'll listen to this guy, and this is where I've come." I didn't go out to inspire anyone. That's the thing. I did it myself.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a great quote. I think it's like, at first they mock, and then, you know, eventually they'll ask you how the fuck you did it. Do you know what I mean? And once we get this on YouTube, buddy, we're going to get this to the press. We're going to make it go viral, and you will. You'll inspire so many because, you know, you've not just lost a bit of weight. You've lost a lot of weight. You've completely transformed, bud, all right? So, look, we're going to finish up in a little bit. There's a few lads have asked some questions. Joe said, what kind of food did you eat? Well, Joe, we spoke about that at the start. I don't know if you missed it, but he juiced for a couple of months, so vegetables and fruits. And then he slowly phased that out, and it's like veggies and chicken and fish and things like that. Obviously, reduced alcohol. McDonald's was a daily thing. It probably isn't anymore. Vegas Al says, have you read any books, any literature for motivation?
Well, yeah, the I think Paul... Is it Paul Hope? He mentioned Goggins, and David Goggins was my driver at the beginning.
Brilliant.
Unbelievable. The podcast he'd done with Joe Rogan for 2 hours. This guy changed my life.
Brilliant.
100%. Brilliant. 100%. And then I didn't just do that because I felt I wanted to be more of it. So I bought his book on Amazon, and it was like Christmas all over again. I've been reading bits of it, and when you get the book, it's even in more depth, and it gives you more accountability and doing some stuff. And I refer to it. I carry the book with me everywhere.
Brilliant.
I go.
Man, I carry a book too. I carry a book that saved my life many years ago called The Secret, and I refer to it all the time. And if that's what works for you, that's what works for you, my man.
So, yeah, these guys, David Goggins, Rich Roll, there's a guy called Charlie Rocket, Joe Rogan. There's loads of guys out there, but there's certain ones that made me do different things. Rich Roll got me sort of running. David Goggins got me changed my mind, mental. you guys was there to support and stuff like that. I mean, there was a lot of stuff about at the beginning when you was talking about neat and water intake, and I was blown away by it, but it works.
Yeah.
It does work.
Brilliant. Brilliant, mate. Well, look, mate, we're going to wrap up in a second, right? You've been amazing. I'm very, very proud of you, bud, and super chuffed with your results. We're going to turn this, Matt's watching this, we'll get this into a podcast, a YouTube clip, we'll get it out there. We'll put some money and some ad spend, really get it out there. I think it's just the beginning. And, you know, keep inspiring, bud. But look, there might be some people that aren't on this live. They might be embarrassed to pop up and see their name pop up. They might watch it later on. They might be having a few beers. They might have fucked up again this weekend. You have lost 110 pounds. You've lost 50 kilos. You've done it in under a year. What would you say to anyone that is struggling right now? What would you say to them? What would you tell them to do?
Basically, just get after it. Just if you want it enough, just get after it. And anyone can do this. Just believe in yourself and love yourself. That's all I say.
Brilliant, mate. Fucking brilliant. Simon, it's been a pleasure talking to you, buddy. We'll have a little chat on the messenger now. All right?
Yeah, no problem.
I really appreciate your time. Obviously, this was in the closed group tonight. I would have loved to have done it on my profile, but we've got a plan for this anyway, all right? This is just the first step. We'll get the audio out. We'll get the YouTube out. And then we can push it out, mate. We'll hope to inspire. And let's do it again, mate. Let's do it again.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll be in touch.
Brilliant. Cheers, Simon. Have a lovely... Thanks for staying up late, mate, and doing that, all right? You have a great day. Yeah, no, see you later. Cheers, mate.
Cheers. Cheers.